Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank the Lord for another Sunday. There is an opportunity we have to worship Him. Certainly desire your prayers yet again this morning.
Yes.
Depending on the Lord one more time. Covet your prayers. And I want you all to know that Brother Henry and I, when we get up here, we don't just say that. We mean it.
Yeah.
We need your prayers.
Yeah.
I want you to know that we have a responsibility that God has given us. And it is our, if we covet your prayers because when we stand before you,
yeah,
we want the inspired word of God to be brought
that's
forth.
Right. Yeah.
And we desire the anointing of his spirit to be
yeah
with us.
Yeah.
So when we say we desire your prayers, we mean that.
Right.
And we know that you all are praying for it with us, and we appreciate
you.
And we thank you for those prayers. And one other thing I just want to let you know. On behalf of myself, Brother Henry, I want you to know that we have a love and a care and a concern
yes
for each and every member of this congregation.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we love to see God working in the lives in each and every one.
Yes.
And you know, I want you to know that when we see some that go away and don't come, and that hurts us.
Yes.
It hurts us, and it helps us to examine ourselves and say, Lord, are we doing everything that we can do? And we just look to the Lord. So what we endeavor to do by the grace and by the help of God, when we bring forth the word of God, we want to, by the help of the Lord, equip everyone with the tools to be able to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. To live able to walk before him in a way that he says, that's my child. We want to be able to, by the help of the Lord, through the word that he has given us, to be able to give us what we need to recognize the tricks and the traps that the enemy has laid out for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So it's our desire to encourage each one. And that's what we have. Is God gives that to us as pastors, that, Lord, help us to give the saints what they need so that they can live a successful life. And that the enemy, that they can recognize that his enemy's out to get every one of us. He's got tricks and traps laid out for us all. And we just help us to recognize it. That's what we endeavor to do.
Yes,
by the help of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Have a thought this morning about disregard.
Oh, about that.
You know that word disregard, it means to pay no attention to.
All right.
To treat as unworthy of regard or notice. It also means to despise. One of the things that we have to be aware of is that we are impacted by the world around us.
That's right.
The things that go on around us, they affect us.
That's right. Yeah.
There are attitudes, and there are actions and things that people do that happen all around us that they can have an effect on us.
Right.
And we have to recognize those kinds of things, and we have to be reminded that we have to be careful. Because those things, when they impact us in our lives, in a natural sense, that there is a tendency that those things can affect us spiritually. And the things that are going on in our world today, people have attitudes and they act in certain ways, and there's no immediate consequences to their actions. Right? You can do things and you can treat people certain ways or don't follow things that you should follow, and there's no immediate consequence. So the tendency is that people just continue to do things because there's nothing happens. You know, there's a scripture that talks about that.
Yeah.
is found in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, and also verse 12.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily.
Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil.
Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil.
Though a sinner do evil
100 times,
and his days be prolonged,
yet surely I know
that it shall be well with them.
It will be well with them that fear God,
which fear before Him.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, is set within the hearts of man to do evil. Because God doesn't just announce judgment immediately, then there's a mindset that people have to think that I just got away with it.
Right.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. I can completely disregard maybe any kind of consequences that can come out of my actions because nothing happens.
Right.
But you know what? There's a design. There's a purpose in it that God has. Because could you imagine what it would be like if things like that happened?
Yeah.
Like immediately when you did something that you know you shouldn't do, that God immediately pronounced judgment. People would live in fear, right?
Yes.
They would serve God out of fear.
Right.
And that's not what He wants. God wants us to serve Him from love. He wants us to, the love that He expressed to us, He wants us to reciprocate that back to Him. So that's it. So He doesn't do that. He wants us to serve Him out of love. But yet in that, men's hearts, because they don't see the immediate consequence, they just do evil continually. But take note, it says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and their days are prolonged, like nothing's going to happen. But it says here, I know that it shall be well with them that fear God.
Yeah.
You know, our fear for God is out of love.
Yeah.
Our fear for God. And we can know that when we follow His leadings and His guidings, that His blessings will be upon us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one writer said it like this. They see not the smoke in the pit, therefore they dread not the fire. Can't see the smoke, so there's no smoke, then there must not be any fire. Nothing's happening, so there must be no consequence.
Right.
Completely disregarding things. So we have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because there's a callousness that people have with life, that if we're not careful, that can affect us, and the things in our lives, in our natural lives, can carry over into our spiritual life. And that's, you know, we have to be careful, because we live in this world and we're affected by the things in this world. You know, we learn about carryover. We learned about carryover early on, didn't we? We start doing the math, right? You got a math equation and you got the two numbers on the one side, what do, right? If I'm trying to add 13 and 9, right, what do? I carry it over.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just these tendencies they're natural, right? So those things naturally can have effect on us spiritually. There's a couple of things that I took notice of here within the last 2 weeks. And it has to do with disregard. And you know, these are observations that I'm sure you all have experienced similar things. So I was driving. And you know, as we drive around, sometimes there's roundabouts. Right? And generally sometimes there's two lanes, right, to go into the roundabout. There's an inner lane and then there's an outer lane, right? So when you're entering into the roundabout, if you're on the inner lane, right, then you go on the inside, right? And then a lot of times the lane on the outside, there's an out, right, for them to go through, right? So we all understand that, right? All right, so I'm entering into a roundabout. There's a stop sign. I'm on the inside, and there's a car on the outside. So I proceed. You know, it's my turn. It's clear. So I can go. So I go on the inside. But the car on the other lane that's on the side, they want to come on the inside too. Complete disregard. Right? In a situation like that, now I have a choice too, right? I can completely disregard the fact that there's a car coming in my lane. And if I wanted to, I could have kept going and just hit him. Right? And it wouldn't have been my fault. But a complete disregard. But you know what started the situation? And I wasn't necessarily surprised that it happened. You know what happens when things, we live in a city with a lot of people, you know? We do. And guess what? When there's a lot of people, every now and then, maybe more often than we would like, we're going to hit a little bit of traffic. So that line to the inner lane was a little bit longer now than the one to the outer lane. So I can completely disregard the laws now because I'm in a hurry. Because I'm special. Because my circumstances are different. So they, what could I do? I stopped so they could go through. But complete disregard. It's the, you know, Brother Damian just recently took his driving test. I'm sure he would be able to tell us in knowing the book that he had to get familiar with that this is how you behave when you enter a roundabout.
Right, right.
That's just what, I mean, and these things happen. All of us have experienced things like this. Here's another observation. You know, you get made, sometimes you get to a two lanes, and there's a stop sign. And then one lane, one lane turns left, and the other lane turns right. And again, we live in a city with a lot of people. And the right lane, right, long, there's a lot of cars in it, but it's shorter in the left lane, see? So we get to the stop sign, and it's time to go. And I get ready to proceed to go so I can turn right. But that car in the left lane, it turned right in front of me. Complete disregard. Again, you know, we are affected. Our disregard in our own lives has more of an effect than just on me. It has an effect on other people as well. Again, I had a choice now. I could have... You know, you don't know how someone is going to respond when it's clear for them to go. But, you know, their thought and their complete disregard was the fact that I'm going to speed up quick enough to be able to turn in front of them before they do. So if you consider this kind of attitude, this kind of mindset naturally in life, how do you think people think about their soul? These kind of, we have to be careful, saints. Because bad habits that we can gain, that we can foster, they can affect our life. And not even in a natural sense, but again, there's that carryover. They can carry over into our spiritual life. And then the complete disregard that I have for laws that everyone's supposed to follow, if I don't follow them in my life, then when it comes to God, I'm special. I got special rules for myself. See, I don't have to abide by the same thing that you. Yes, you do. You can't just completely disregard it.
Help me, Lord, to be careful.
We live in this world, and we can be affected by it. Help me to be a good law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
By the help and by the grace of God, regardless of what people's doing around me. Because if I'm like that in life, when it comes to spiritual things, I'm going to have those same types of tendencies, that same type of attitude. You know, it's those that have been in school, maybe, if you had a teacher that said, this information that I'm about to share is going to be on the exam. Right? I guarantee you, this is going to be on the exam. As a conscientious student, it's time for me to get my pencil and paper, right? Pay attention. It's going to... Oh, no, the teacher's just saying that. She doesn't really need it. He doesn't really need it. It's not going to be at the test. So I'm going to just keep on talking to my friend over here. And I'm not going to pay attention to what the teacher's talking about. I'll be okay. I already know that. So I'm good. I know exactly what they're going to share. So I can just ignore it. Complete disregard. And then you get on the test. Ooh. I should have been paying attention. It's too late then, right? You know, there's a story in the Bible about someone that had a complete disregard for somebody else. And you know when they realized it? When it was too late. Let's go to the 16th. Chapter of Luke and read verses 19 through 24. Luke 16, 19 through 24.
There was a certain rich man.
There was a certain rich man.
Which was clothed in purple and fine linen.
He was clothed in purple and fine linen.
And fared sumptuously.
And he fared sumptuously every day.
There was a certain beggar named
Lazarus,
which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table, Moreover, the dogs came,
and licked his sores.
And it came to pass,
The beggar died.
And was carried by the angels.
In Abraham's bosom.
The rich man also died. And was buried. And in hell he lifted up his
eyes.
Being in torment.
And seeth Abraham afar off. And Lazarus in his bosom.
And he cried and said,
Father Abraham,
have mercy on me,
send Lazarus,
that he may dip
the tip of his finger in water
and cool my
tongue,
for I am tormented in this flame.
You allow me a little latitude in this story. Obviously, in this, there was somebody who had everything that he needed and more, right? So much so that he dressed in even just the clothes that he wore. Let you know how well off he was. But there was one that was around him that was just didn't have not even close to what he had. He didn't even have anything to eat. He was a beggar, and even the dogs felt sorry for him. And all he wanted was a few crumbs. He didn't ask to say, can I come sit at your table? Can I come eat with you? He said, let me have not even your leftovers. I'm talking about when you finish eating and you look around the table, and there's some crumbs that have gathered around.
Yes.
Just the crumbs. You sweep up the crumbs. What do we do with crumbs?
Trash.
We sweep them up and throw them in the trash.
Yes.
And here, this red lion, this rich man, just completely disregarded Lazarus. Completely ignored him. I don't know. It seemed like he didn't even acknowledge him. Seemed like the dogs paid more attention to him than the rich man did. He disregarded. And you know what? There was no immediate consequence. His life wasn't affected. Nothing. I mean, he was still, Lazarus was there begging every day, but it didn't have an effect on him. He was still, every morning he got up, he still had food to eat. No consequence.
Oh, but there came a point in time when they both died.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And now he comes back in his mind. Wait, that beggar, it's too late.
Right.
It's too late. I can't disregard something till it's too late. The time to rectify it is when you're able to.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
When you recognize, you know what? I've been ignoring this, and I need to deal with it. Unfortunately for this rich man, it was too late. When you treat something too casual, you know, in life, we can sometimes get too casual with our soul. And this is just a reminder for us, I can't do that. It's critically important. If the disregard, you know, if it's creating a problem, fix it now. Right? Fix it now. Don't wait till it's too late. The disregard that the rich man had in life, it couldn't be rectified in death. Right? By the time he recognized it, it was too late. And by the time he's saying, send Lazarus, he was already in torment. And to think that he thought, I mean, even if God would have allowed it to take place, just to dip his finger. But tell me the last time you was as thirsty as I don't know what, and you put your finger in water and just, we wouldn't do anything for you.
No.
So I don't want to get to that place. I don't want to get to that place where my disregard, or I can't do anything about it. So there's a spiritual application in all this. So what we talk about disregard, but then the spiritual side of that is despise not.
Right.
Despise not.
Yeah.
Do not disregard the things of God and His dealings with us. When we think about God's dealings and workings with us, it comes through His Word, doesn't it? It comes through His Word. And there are times when God gives inspiration of His Word to His vessels.
Yeah.
Right? And then He instructs His vessels give that inspiration. They give that instruction.
Yes.
And you know what? We have to be careful. When there is someone that's endeavoring to live for the Lord, that has a care and a concern for each and every one of us, when God has given them something that they share with you, to not disregard it.
Yeah.
Not to despise it. Do something about it.
Amen.
Do you know that ignoring something or putting it off is despising?
Yeah.
Not dealing with something is completely disregarding it. It's despising it. There's a verse of song that we sing, and its song is obedience. It says, each commandment, each commandment thou hast given is essential to our life. All thy mandates, love betoken, to oppose them is but strife. So what that means for me is that when it comes to God's word, I can't disregard any of it. I can't say, if in my life I'm trying to get somewhere. So because I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm in a hurry, then I can disregard the laws for right now because I need to get where I need to get right now. Right? So then in my life now, I can say, I know what the Bible says. I know what I'm supposed to do. But see, my circumstances are different. Because of what I'm going through, because of what I'm dealing with, there's something different here. I can't disregard it. Despise not. There's some verses that talks about it. Job 5 and 17.
Behold. Happy is the man
whom God corrected.
Therefore despise not thou
the chastening of the Almighty. In whichever way it comes forth, you know, God, it's just the nature of God's word chastens us. It's just, that's what it's supposed to do. You know, if we was all perfect and we was all in the place where God wanted us to be, then we'd be in heaven. So, you know, as long as I'm living and I'm breathing and I'm walking on this earth, God's working on me in some kind of way. So I need to despise not his chastenings, however it comes forward. And know that those that are living for God and have a care and a concern for you, they're not beating up on you. You know, when we get up here and administer the word of God, it's not a hammer. We love you. We care for you. We want the best for each one. And when God inspires us, it's for us too, right? But we want to inspire you as well. Despise not the chastenings of the Almighty. You know what that means as we go through life? We're probably going to have some trials. We're probably going to have some tests. Right? There's going to be some difficulty that we have to go through. And you know, in each of those circumstances, God can work on me.
Yes.
And God can work on you.
Yes.
And I can say as I go through these, we talked about a little bit this morning in Sunday school about Paul, how he had the thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
And he asked the Lord three times, can you please just take it out? God said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And you know what? That's an encouragement for us as well. That even in the midst of things that we have to go through in this life, that we can have a different attitude and mindset about not how quickly can I get rid of this, but Lord, what are you working in me?
Yes.
Lord, I want to get that. Because I don't want to have to go over this again. Right? Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's an expression about you don't have enough time to do it right, but you have time to do it over. So I might be getting it all wrong. But you understand what I'm saying? So, Lord, when you send something my way, then you are chastening me. Help me not to despise it. Help me not to disregard it. Help me to get a hold of it and say, Lord, what are you trying to get over to me? Because I want to get it. I want to grasp it, and I want to apply it to my life so that I can say, okay, by the help of the Lord, I won't have to go through something like that again. But we may. But you know God will be with us. I can say, Lord, would you please help me? You know, we made mention of this before, but you know, there are certain things in the Bible that's repeated. Some of them is in just in one, in the old, maybe just in the new. Some of them are in both. Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? There's one more reference in the Old Testament. It's in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, in the 11th verse. What's that say?
My son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord.
Despise not the chastening of the Lord.
Neither
be weary of his correction. And again, I'm going through this life. Lord, you're working on me.
Yes.
You're getting things out of me that you can't use, right, so you can pour more of you into me.
Right.
Help me, Lord. I almost have to embrace it.
Yes.
Right? It'll work for my good if the Savior I love. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So, Lord, there's something good in it for me. Help me to get it. Help me not to just disregard or despise the things that you allow to come my way. Lord, if I didn't need it, you wouldn't send it.
That's right.
Right? And think about us, and those of us that are parents and that have children that we still discipline. Do we discipline them just for fun?
No.
I just feel like getting on you today. You know, if we know, when we love them, it's out of love. It's about, I'm concerned about a direction that you're going. I'm concerned about the way you're thinking about something.
Right.
And I want you to get going in the right direction. I see you veering off, and I want to straighten you out. So in my correction to you, it's out of love, because I want to see I have the best for you. How many times have we told our children, there's only person that loves you more than me is God. Right? So why would I tell you something that's going to hurt you? I wouldn't do it. And I don't just do it just for fun. And now we're talking about God?
Right.
Has anyone done more for us than God? We haven't even done more for ourselves than God has.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, not to despise when he touches me on the shoulder.
Yes.
And he says, I got something to work
with.
But see, the mindset of the world that we live in, we can just disregard it, see? It doesn't apply to me. Be careful. So we got two references now in the Old Testament. Guess what? There's a reference in the New Testament too. So again, it's something that I need to get a hold of. I need to grasp it and then apply it to my life. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 5th verse. This, in this instance, the writer here is making reference to what's mentioned in the Old Testament. Isn't that just like God? Right? The Bible is inspired word of God, right? So he inspired those that wrote each of the chapters. God inspires it. And in the inspiration of the writer of Hebrews, he said, point back to that other one.
That's right.
To get a hold of something here again. What's it say in Hebrews 12 and 5.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you.
See, in this instance, those that he was writing to, he was reminding them, you forgot about something. You forgot about this. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaking unto you as unto the children.
My son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
You know what the writer said about this verse? The best, listen to this. The best of God's children need chastisement.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
But you can say, I'm a pretty good saint. Help, careful. By the help of the Lord, I'm trying to live right. But it says even the best, the elite of the elite, so to speak, need chastisement from the Lord. So that means, basically what that means is that none of us are exempt. Where we are along the journey of life, whatever our relationship is with God, God is going to put his finger on it, some things. He's going to visit with us. He's trying to help us get to heaven. He's doing everything that he can for us. Don't disregard what he brings to us. There's a purpose in it. The writer says they have faults and follies which need to be corrected. But you standing up here preaching. Yes. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm not exempt. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be.
That's right.
Took him a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars, but he's still working on me.
That's right.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Help me, Lord, to accept it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
You know, the attitude that I need to have, the attitude that we should have, as God in his love and his mercy, as he works with us each day.
Amen.
There's a particular verse that talks about you want to not be despised of God. Right? You want to have God pay attention to you. You want to have God to treat you as with special regard. This is how he told us to be. What's it say in Psalm 51 and 17?
The sacrifices of God.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and a contrite heart.
A broken and a contrite heart.
O God.
Thou wilt not despise.
Praise God.
So Lord, if I come to you with a brokenness and a contriteness, when I say, when God allows something to come my way, and I respond in the way that I shouldn't respond, and I say, man, I did that. Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Right? That when I come to God with a brokenness and a contriteness, that he won't despise me. Thank you, Lord. That I can say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me out here. That wasn't me. You know, sometimes you ever been in situations where somebody points something out to you? Do you realize that you did such and such? And you say, I'm pretty sure I didn't do that. We got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't realize. You know what? And most what we do is, you know what? I didn't realize. Right? I didn't. And how do we respond to that? You know, if our response is, I did not do that. That's the opposite of what this is talking about. You know what? I didn't realize I did that. That was not my intent. A broken spirit and a contrite, please forgive me.
Yes.
Please, but I didn't mean for that to. I did. If it, you know, sometimes it's even we might say something and it comes out, or even maybe we think we present it in a way that it's clear, but all of us are different, right? And I can say something that I mean it in a certain way, but somebody takes it in a different way. But if I'm told about it, then I can say, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. I my intention was this. That's what, as God works with us, as He touches us, when I present a brokenness and a contriteness, then that's what God responds to. You know, so as I recognize God working on me, you know what my responsibility, I'm talking about me now. My responsibility is to respond to it.
Yes.
Respond to it in the way that God would have me to. Because I surely want God to pay attention. I want Him to not despise me. I want Him to, that's my child.
Yes, amen.
That's my child that I love. My child that I died for.
Yes,
and they doing all that they can. And when I touch them, they respond.
Yes.
You know, as we go through this life, it's a careful way that we go.
Yes, yes.
It's a careful way.
Yes.
But you know, God can help us.
Yes,
each step of the way. He can help every day, and that I can be found in the place that God would have me to be. And you know, I recognize I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord to help me every day. Saints, be encouraged.
Yes.
Be encouraged, as you know, even again, how I respond, it affects more than just me.
Yes.
Yeah.
My disregard or despising of God, it has more than it. Others around me are affected.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not in this world all by myself.
Yes.
Lord, I want to. Welcome. I don't know. If it's the way for me to get to heaven. Then I have to say, Lord, if I need it, let me know. Does that mean that I'm going to have a life of flowery beds of ease? No. But again, when I think about what's the purpose in it, I'm trying to get to heaven.
That's right.
I desire your prayers. That I not despise the chastenings of the Lord.
Amen.
That I don't disregard the things that God brings, His dealings, His word, His truth, as it's presented, that I would respond in the way that He would have me to respond.
Amen.
I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention.